Our gospel lesson is taken from the fourth chapter of the gospel according to St. Luke, verses 38 through 44, where we continue in our Sunday morning series in the gospel according to St. Luke, and where Luke wrote these wonderful words of life through which we look into the wonderful face and experience the healing grace of Jesus, our Savior. Luke chapter 4, beginning in verse 38. And he arose and left the synagogue and entered Simon's house. Now Simon's mother-in-law was ill with a high fever, and they appealed to him on her behalf. And he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. And immediately she rose and began to serve them. Now when the sun was setting, all those who had any who were sick with various diseases brought them to him. And he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. And demons also came out of many, crying, "You are the Son of God." But he rebuked them and would not allow them to speak, because they knew that he was the Christ. And when it was day, he departed and went into a desolate place. And the people sought him and came to him and would have kept him from leaving them. But he said to them, "I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns as well, for I was sent for this purpose." And he was preaching in the synagogues of Judea. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Let's look to our God once again in prayer. There's light for a look at the Savior, and life more abundant and free. Blessed Savior, our great physician, we look upon you in your holy word. Speak to us afresh by your Spirit. Assure us of our Father's love. Grant us life more abundant and free. Touch and heal our hearts, and make us instruments of your healing grace in the lives of others. Through Christ we pray. Amen. Well, it was the Sabbath day, but Jesus was a preacher, so he was hard at work. He had already preached a sermon in the synagogue that had wowed the good folk of Capernaum. And while he was there, he exorcised a demon from one of the worshipers. For most preachers, that would have been a full day's work. Time to call it a day. But not for Jesus. He was just getting warmed up. He went from the synagogue and entered Simon Peter's house. Mark tells us that he went there immediately from the synagogue. No rest, no delay. Jesus was in ministry mode. He was in the zone, as we might put it. He was revealing and demonstrating and communicating his mercy, power, and love. Peter's mother-in-law had a high fever. And Peter and his brother Andrew and others appealed to Jesus to do something about it. Let's consider what he did about it and what it teaches us about him and life in him. Jesus did two things. We may summarize it in this way. He did two things. He rebuked and he restored. In the first place, he rebuked. Jesus went into the room where Peter's mother-in-law was lying, and he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. Luke, we should remember, was a physician. In Colossians 4:14, St. Paul calls him the beloved physician. So Luke must have marveled as he wrote the words before us this morning. He must have marveled at the power of Jesus, the great physician. Luke probably thought to himself, you know, I've spent my whole life studying and diagnosing and trying to treat disease. And here Jesus simply speaks a word and the fever left the body of the patient he came to treat. Jesus rebuked the fever and it left her. That word rebuked is a word we heard twice in our passage. Jesus rebuked the fever and he rebuked the demons he was exorcising from the people of Capernaum. He had rebuked the unclean spirit that was oppressing the man in the synagogue, as we saw last week. Jesus rebuked things that weren't supposed to be in his creation. Remember, as we saw last week, Jesus is the one through whom all things were made, and he is the one through whom all things are being made new. He is creator and re-creator. Thus, he rebukes those things that were not in his creation before the fall. He says, get out of here. You are an invader. You don't belong here. He rebukes those things that were not in his creation before the fall, and that won't be here after he returns and remakes everything into the new heavens and a new earth. So in the days of his sojourn on this earth, earth that he had made and the earth that he was remaking, he rebuked fevers and demons and deadly wind and raging waves. Ultimately, through his death and resurrection, he rebuked sin, the power of it. He rebuked the devil, he rebuked death itself. He rebukes those things that he came to rid his creation of. Those things that are out of sorts, not according to his original design. Those things that are part of a fallen creation, a world with devils filled. Those things that cripple us with fear and dread and death. Jesus rebukes them. Jesus' rebuke of the demons and the fever in our passage this morning assures us of his power to ultimately rid his creation of all that oppresses, depresses, plagues, mars, maligns, divides, and destroys. There in Simon Peter's house, standing over Peter's mother-in-law, our great physician rebuked. He rebuked the fever and it left her. And in the second place, he restored. Jesus restored her to full health. He didn't just rebuke the fever and then her temperature lowered. She would have appreciated that. That would have been wonderful. But that's not all that happened. She didn't just remain in the bed for a few more days, exhausted from her sickness. That's not what happened, is it? He rebuked the fever, and it left her, and immediately she rose and began to serve them. Mark tells us that he came to her, took her by the hand, and lifted her up, and the fever left her, and she began to serve them. So through his word and through his touch, she was healed, wholly restored to them and vigor. Her youth was renewed like the eagles. Again, Jesus is the great restorer. He doesn't just get rid of the bad stuff. He replaces it with great stuff, better than ever before. The thief, he said in John 10:10, comes only to steal and kill and destroy. But I came that they may have life and have it a little bit. No. Have it abundantly, to the fullest degree. Overflowing life in Christ. Several years ago, we were in the checkout line at the grocery store, and there was a gluten-free magazine called Living Without. Living Without. And we talked about what terrible advertising that was. If that was your magazine and your idea, I'm sorry, but that's just, it didn't work. I think they've gone out of business. I haven't seen that one. Again, Living Without. There was another gluten-free magazine that had a smiling person taking a bite out of something yummy, and the name of it was Delight Gluten-Free. And we said, now that sounds a lot better. Friends, the devil wants you to think that if you live for Jesus, if you live in Jesus, with Jesus, for Jesus, you will simply be living without. Yeah, it might be kind of good for you, but you're just going to be living without. But Jesus says, and he proves it over and over again, that if you live with him, in him, and for him, you will then experience true delight. His service is perfect freedom. To know him is to have life eternal. Psalm 16:11 says, "You, O Lord, make known to me the path of life, abundant life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore." It's not living without. It's living with the greatest joy, the greatest peace, the greatest delight, the most invigorating strength, far beyond what we can even imagine as we surrender our lives to Jesus. Jesus is the great restorer of life, a life overflowing with his presence and his love. He restores our souls when we look to him for forgiveness of our sins and spiritual healing and refreshment. And he loves our bodies as well as our souls. As he showed that Sabbath day in Capernaum and throughout his ministry, the whole purpose of his incarnation, his enfleshment, his embodiment, him taking upon himself our humanity, body and soul, was to heal not only our souls, but our bodies too. Indeed, to heal all that he has made. One day when he returns, all who believe in him will have perfectly healed bodies. I don't know about you, but I cannot wait for that. And many of you suffering here or worshiping with us online, you are yearning, as all creation groans and yearns, for his return. There will be no more handicaps, no more aches, no more pains, no more debilitations, no more terminal illness. All will be made just right. And sometimes he gives us a foretaste of that now. He gives us a foretaste of that now, just as he did in Capernaum. As he heals not only our souls, but sometimes he's pleased to display his love, his grace, his mercy, his power as the great physician and heal bodies. James, the half-brother of our Lord, in the fifth chapter of his epistle, beginning in verse 14, said, "Is anyone sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up." You hear the same language that Mark used regarding Peter's mother-in-law. The Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another, as you all are faithful to do as a congregation. Pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. So as I mentioned last week, if you are experiencing spiritual sickness, spiritual oppression, come to me and I will listen to you and I will talk with you and I will pray with you. And if you desire the elders of this church who love you, as Christ's representatives to you, we love you. We will anoint you with oil and pray over you that the Lord will give you victory spiritually. And the same applies physically as well. This is a means of grace that James talks about. And God is pleased to use it to touch bodies and heal and grant emancipation from things that plague us. Sometimes Jesus wonderfully heals and we give him all the glory. Sometimes he calls us to endure pain and sickness in this life. Sometimes he calls us home. Sometimes he touches our bodies as he touched the body of Peter's mother-in-law and he heals us. But whatever he in his wisdom and grace and love does, we bow before him and we trust him. We rest in him. That one day all will be made right. One day all will be restored better than it was even at creation. Jesus is the great physician. He can heal spiritually, emotionally, mentally, physically. He gives his church experiences of that in this life, which we celebrate, for which we give him thanks. And until he comes, he has given us the precious means before us. A powerful means, means of grace, means of healing our souls. Luke described the fever of Peter's mother-in-law as being a high fever. In the Greek, it's basically the word mega. It was a mega fever, a great fever. But Jesus was the mega physician, the great physician. What does that teach us? It teaches us that nothing is too great for Jesus. His love and power and grace are greater than all the fevers that plague us. The doubts, the fears, the sins, none of them is too great for our great physician to cure. So don't try to deal with them on your own. This table is about forsaking attempts to deal with the fevers of this life on our own. This table is about running to Jesus, our great physician, So you come to Jesus. Come to him here in faith and repentance, especially repenting of trying to live on your own rather than in him. And he promises, all who come to me, I will never cast out. When he healed Peter's mother-in-law, immediately she rose and began to serve. What a picture of the gospel. What a picture of grace. Christ's healing grace. His healing touch makes us self-forgetful. His healing touch makes us ready to serve others as he has served us. Healed to help. That's the pattern. Healed to help. So come and let him serve you and help you and heal you through this meal. Let him empower you to forgive as he has forgiven you. To serve as he has served you. To love as he loves you. So that you may be his instrument of healing in the lives of others. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.